So I see everybody that's here that in the morning is the rowdy bunch, because the rest of you guys just get quiet and sit down and settle right in, right? So it's the ones that aren't here that are the troublemakers. The ones we got to flip the lights at about six or seven times. So just making sure everybody got one of these, or you didn't have to get one, but this is what's out on the front wall. And there's about, I counted, there's 11 of those in the back. So this is the leadership list. I don't know why it didn't, I didn't think about this earlier when people have asked just to have it posted. So, you know, this is only good for 2017 because deacons, trustees, other things move. So I'll try to get this up on that board annually just so you guys have that, because you might want to know who to call or who to contact. And sometimes it gets a little hard to try to fit it in the bulletin. You know, sometimes some people say, put it in the bulletin every once in a while. Well, as you see, the bulletin's kind of shrank quite a bit, and you never know what you're coming into. So I figured this would be a second best thing. So this way now you can crank call Steve Bubb if you'd like to. His number is listed on there. So, all right, we're in Romans chapter 5, and we're going to pick up where we left off this morning, with talking about much more, much more. Verses 9 through 11. We only covered one point this morning, so we'll cover the rest of them this evening, and we will get through with it. I promise you we won't linger too long, but I wanted you to have all the scripture and the thoughts, and Paul is describing here, Christ is much more than, the challenge this morning was Christ is much more than just a free ticket to heaven. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that all the time. I know I have to remind myself that there's much more required of me than just sitting back thinking I have a free ride to heaven. I am no longer my own. I'm under new ownership, and this flesh doesn't want to do what he says to do, but that doesn't matter. I need to do what he says to do, and I think we all are there. So much more. We're going to look at verses 9 through 11 again. Let's read those together. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or the reconciliation. So let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that we could gather in your house. Lord, we pray that as we again look at your word and talk about how much more, Lord, I pray that we would just glean from your word. Pray that we would be challenged to take this salvation that was all prescribed and done by you. And Lord, may we just do what you'd have us to do in our lives. May we allow the Holy Spirit to live out through us daily, in every area of our life. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't hold any areas back. And Lord, I pray that any areas we're holding back, we would submit and allow you to be the Lord of. We love you and thank you, and we praise you for all that you've done. Lord, we think of the prayer requests this week that need to be laid out. I think of Liz Day, who's having surgery on Thursday, and she's pretty nervous. Lord, I pray to be with the surgeon's hand. I pray you would calm her heart. And Lord, just the other areas and things, and I think of Steve as he asked for some prayer dealing with some loss. So, Lord, I pray that you'd be with him. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So much more. This morning, just as a quick review, talked about we're saved. Number one, we're justified by his blood. And we talked about that in verse 9. We've been justified by his blood. It says much more than being now justified by his blood. We talked about some scripture, some verses. And then not only but much more than that, and this morning I kind of hinted at it, we're also saved from God's wrath in verse 9. It says we shall be saved from the wrath through him. God's righteous wrath was unleashed on Jesus, who died in our substitute in our place. And that's what I was talking about this morning. When we look at the cross and Christ, that was our sin. That was us. And when God looked down at that cross, he was still just and holy, and he still penalized sin, and he took it out on Christ. Instead of us. And so that's why when someone doesn't trust in Christ and they trust in themselves, they're going to be dealt with if they die by themselves without Christ. God is going to still judge them. The word wrath means an inner, deep resentment that seethes and smolders. You start thinking about that. Wrath means an inner deep resentment that seethes and smolders. You ever been mad with somebody? I mean, really mad. We don't like to say it, but we ever got those places where we hate somebody? We just got that deep resentment. Maybe they did you wrong. Maybe they hurt you. Maybe they hurt one of your children. Well, that doesn't even compare to the wrath God has for sin. I think about in Genesis, when he was going to wipe out the whole world, who was the only man that kept God from doing that? Anybody? Noah. He looked down and he only saw one man, right? But he was ready to tear it all up. I know that we love to focus on God's love, but we also got to keep God's justice in mind as well. God is just. He must punish sin. And because he loves us so much, he sent his own son as a substitute so that he remains loving and just. His wrath is fully satisfied because he has fully unleashed his love. A true blow or true thing for us to understand is his wrath is fully satisfied because he has fully unleashed his love. And the love of God rescues us from the wrath of God. Romans 3:26. Let's go back and read Romans 3:26. And because we got a little bit different of an atmosphere tonight, who would like to read that verse for us nice and loud? Mark, please do. So, and when you start taking that with the verses 21 down through there, God had to punish Christ on our behalf so that he would be just and justifier. So Jesus saved us from not only our own wickedness, but he saved us from God's wrath. That's huge that we remember that. And we got some verses here. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And then 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." That's some awesome promises, amen? Jesus, he intercepted and absorbed the wrath of God for you on your cross, then claimed it his cross, where all of God's fury was poured out. I have to think about that, thinking about that cross and taking our punishment. Wow, what great love and mercy. What grace. So, we've been reconciled by his death. Verse 10. Go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Reconciled, restored to God. Before we come to Christ, the Bible says we're at war with God. You don't think about that, do you? But we're enemies. And the word enemy is often used to describe a bitter military foe meant to hate and hatred. And when we trust in Christ and we become reconciled back to God, it's not like your friends on Facebook, right? How many people have a lot of friends on Facebook that you don't even know, really? Anybody? Anybody have Facebook this evening? Are we awake? You got to have friends you're really not friends with, you're just acquaintance with, right? It's not that type of friendship. When Jesus reconciled us back to God, he repaired what had been broken. Literally, the scripture talks about there was a wall. There was a wall in between us, and we couldn't get to the Father because of that sin. And when Christ died on the cross and rose again and claimed victory over death and hell, he busted down that wall and able to put us back to the Father. What an awesome picture that is of reconciliation of between us and the Father. But even more than that, or much more, is we are saved by his life. So not only reconciled to God, but the verse continues on. It says, "Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Since a dead Savior can redeem us, don't we think a living Savior can keep us?" Christ not only gave us his life, he gave his life to us. He lives in order for us to live, and he came to liberate us. So, how do we live for Christ? And I'm asking that question. I don't normally ask that in the morning service, but how do we live for Christ? Be obedient. Anybody else? Follow his word. Who's that? Always serve him. Anybody else? Pray. Steve? Keep faith, yeah. Here's a verse we have too, 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. We can live for him by living after as Christ did. And then also Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If there's a secret to the Christian life, it is this. It's not a matter of trying to imitate Christ, though we should strive to do that. It's not a matter of keeping the rules. The secret to the Christian life is simply allowing Jesus to control every part of our life so that he lives out his character through us. I'll repeat that. The secret of the Christian life is simply allowing Jesus to control every part of our life so that he lives out his character through us. You think about a glove. If a glove just lays there, can it do anything? Can it pick up something? Can it pick up a watch? Can it pick up a shoe? Can it do anything? Well, that's kind of like what we are when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We're just an empty glove. But as soon as we trust in Christ and we are filled with the Spirit and we allow the Holy Spirit to build his character and live through us, it's just like when you put the hand in the glove, then all of a sudden the glove can be used, right? So a lot of times we need to think of ourselves as that. We're just a glove. And when we're getting mad and doing things on our own, we're just a glove that just lays there. But when God's doing his miraculous miracles through us, the Holy Spirit fills that glove and does his work. Not only is Jesus living his resurrected life in and through us, he is also interceding for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to also save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that awesome? So put this in perspective. And I know that some of you guys have been saved longer than I've been alive, but we got to make sure we don't lose the excitement we have for what Christ has done for us. I think sometimes we get bored in it. You guys getting bored with it? I mean, because you think about it, he lived, he died for you and I. He rose again 3 days later, victorious, so that you and I can be reconciled to the Father. And not only does the cross represent our cross, but the scripture we read this morning in Colossians 2:14 says it's his cross. God poured his fury and anger out on his Son and looked at him full of sin, then transfers everything of Christ onto us. Wow! If that isn't mind-blowing, I don't know what is. So that when God looks down at this sinner, saved by his Son, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, in all of his righteous attributes and character. I can't even get my wife to look at me and love me sometimes, amen? That was a joke. You're supposed to laugh more than that. People are like, but that's how God looks at us. Amen, he says. Jesus saves us completely, and he intercedes constantly. Jesus died to reconcile us, and he lives in us to save us. If God had done the most, he can still do the very least. And if God has done the best, he will do the rest. If you were forgiven while we were foes, will he not save us now that we are his friends? Think about the intercessions he makes for you and I. Because we have an accuser before the throne of God. You know that, right? Everything you do gets reported. Anybody like a snitch? You like snitches? What is the old rule? Snitches get what? Or they get found in what? In ditches, right? We got a snitch that stands before the Father, and what do you think he does? He snitches us out and tells him everything we're doing wrong as if God doesn't already know, right? But we have someone that stands before the Father that makes intercession for us that says, I got that covered. That's awesome. His name's Jesus Christ. So, moving on. We're saved by his life, but we also have received reconciliation in verse 11. It says, and not so only, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now been received the atonement or reconciliation. We have received forgiveness and atonement. We have been put back into the state of harmony. The death of Jesus Christ puts back a harmonious unity. And I'm not going to say that word again because I will never get it right again. But it puts us back perfectly in God's grace and where we should be. But there's so much more than being in a state of harmony. This is the one we really need to work on, is rejoicing in God, right? In that verse 11, and not so only, but we also joy in God. This is the third time in Romans so far that Paul has referred to rejoicing in God. And I went and looked at the Greek word. It means to exult, rejoice, jubilant, or to be thrilled. We're to be thrilled not only with God himself, but we need to be glorying in God, right? Did you say praise God for anything at all today, this last week? Right? We need to be glorying in him. We need to be saying hallelujah. We need to be praising him and telling how awesome he is. And again, I hope you don't get tired of hearing it, but when we have a sports team or we have our, you know, if I go hit a golf ball and I get angry, you know, Taj has been out there with me. I've been known to maybe toss my, not quite as much as Ryan Krigo, but I'll toss my club aside, right? I'll hit the ground two or three times. I'll let it know that I'm displeasured. Or if I get a good golf hit that only happens once every 10 years, I'll celebrate it. I'll have everybody tell about it over and over, and the story gets bigger like this, and it was closer and farther away. But man, with Jesus, we need to be pounding and telling everybody how awesome he is. On Sunday mornings, we need to be celebrating how awesome Jesus is. Can I get an amen? I don't care if we're in the great north or the cold north. We need to be celebrating because we have a Savior that thaws through that coldness, right? And we need to be rejoicing for what he's done. Psalms 35:9 says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. So I wonder, how long has it been, or do you have trouble exalting or expressing your salvation? Are you thrilled with what God's done for you or bored with him? I don't believe that Christians can lose their salvation, but I do believe they can lose the joy of their salvation. And I believe that happens when you take your eyes off of what God's done and what he's doing and what he's blessed you with, because he owes us nothing. Can I get an amen on that? He owes us nothing. And yet, as I look around, none of us are starving, right? Many of us are well fed. Many of us are blessed beyond measure with a wonderful spouse, a wonderful family, friends, money in the bank, multiple cars, health, breathing. What are some other things God's blessed us with? His word. Anything else? Unity of family. Absolutely. We are so blessed beyond measure. We should be shouting from the rooftops how awesome God is and how awesome and what he's done for us. And I have to remind myself of this. And my wife and I, we're trying to, sometimes I think she's trying to search for a safe word when I'm going down those rabbit trails. Anybody ever go down those rabbit trails where you're having maybe a pity party that day, or you just wake up and the whole world just stinks? You ever have those days? I don't know what happens between when you fall asleep, but when you wake up. But when you wake up, man, you're hating the world and you just can't get anything right. I need to have one of those safe words with my wife that she could tell me so I can remember God is good all the time. He's given me more than I ever deserve, right? If I drop dead today of what you would consider probably the most unfair death, whatever it was, I've still been blessed way more than I ever deserved. And I would beat you to heaven, absolutely. So we have to remember and find that joy. And David says that in Psalm 51. I think Psalm 51 is a perfect psalm to read when you're down and feeling that you are hurting. In Psalm 51:12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore unto me your joy of your salvation. Remember, it's all because of God. It's nothing you've done. And I think with myself, if I start thinking about something I've done, if I start equivalating my salvation to being something I've done, I can get bored with it. I can lose the joy of it. But when I start realizing it's a free gift that I did nothing for, you got to be kidding me, man. That's awesome. And then I start thinking about all the other things he's done for me. I think, wow, God, you are awesome. Jesus, you are only one worthy to be praised. And so, he saves us for so much more. We've been justified by his blood. We've been saved by God's wrath, or from God's wrath. We're reconciled by his death. We are saved by his life. We have received reconciliation. And we have rejoiced in God. In closing, an author put this, and I thought it was awesome. He says, when God forgives our sin, he purges our record. He erases the remembrance. and he empowers the recipient. He purges our record. He erases the remembrance and empowers the recipient. I often wonder how many times we beat ourselves up over things God's already forgotten about. You think about that. What have you, and I want you to tell me, but just think in your mind, what is something you're failing at or have failed at in your lifetime? Because it may be something currently you're doing, but something in your past that you failed at, that the devil in your flesh beat you over the head over and over and over again, that you can sit here and testify you've put under the blood of Christ, you've asked for forgiveness of it, you've repented from it, and yet you continuously allow it to trip you up and beat you down and tear you apart. And how many times have you visually thought about that? Look up at the Father and think he's looking at you going, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're bringing up. Now, if a God that is so powerful can choose to forget, and he says what he does with it, the East is from the West, why are we beating ourselves up with it? Let it go. Forgive yourself. God has already forgiven you and moved forward. And remember, he purges the record, he erases the remembrance, and he empowers the recipient. You're the recipient of his power, and he gives you that power. All right. Now this is the point to where we would have some discussion. If it was a small group or a Sunday night, what are some thoughts you have from these verses? Any points that I didn't bring out, or maybe something you'd like to expand on? Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said this morning. It was the one answer that stuck with me the whole day is more time. We can't get more time on earth. You know, we can't get more time on earth. It's probably the one thing we have that we all have the same amount of. And what are you going to do with that time? Anybody else? Anything else? Hey, why don't you, not as a side part, but this will also be a blessing, share with everybody what you said about the kids this morning. You said it in our meeting. those are the things that bless your heart, because sometimes you sit there and think, especially me, I'm thinking, okay, I got to get up there, I've only got 15 minutes now, and so I'm not even thinking how many kids went up there, and to sit back and just enjoy watching them go up there, and how some run up there doing cartwheels, and then some come up crying, and you know, looking at the different personalities of kids, but to be reminded, as she said, that, you know, sometimes remember the time when there was no kids in the church. I mean, when I got here, there was no kids in the nursery. And look at it now. I think Kim told me the other day, one time it was 17 or in there. That's awesome. Our VBS, almost over a quarter of our VBS were kids that were preschool age. And that's all God. That's things we need to praise him for. Because I tell you, I want to warn you, as quick as we're standing here celebrating, it could be taken like that, and he can send those blessings somewhere else if we stop obeying him and stop preaching, teaching, and trying to do his word, his will, and with his word. Anybody else? Jack. Yeah. Right. Amen. That's right. Saved from all of God's wrath. Steve?
I don't know how many teachers we got here tonight, but I was confronted by a guy. No, I'm sorry. This nice young lady who gave me a bag, and when I opened it up, it was bags, just bags full of candy, not open. So instead of me eating it, I'm going to bring it here this coming Sunday, and I'm going to have all the kids and have all you guys have it because All right,
amen. As long as you don't give it to me, I don't need it.
Hey, you're getting a piece too.
Oh boy. Joyce. Right. Amen. Anything else? Anything with those three verses? Anybody? Anything? Not going to force it. I'll let you go get wards early. I just want to make sure everybody had their opportunity to say their piece. Chat. I knew it. I see it. As soon as I see the hand come up, I know.
I don't know. Just some random thoughts, I guess. But we probably don't understand or have a realization of how bad our sin is. You know, we always compare ourselves to somebody else who's worse.
Right.
We should be comparing ourselves to God's holiness and get a better understanding of why.
Right. That's right. Yeah, you're on the losing side. That's for sure. All right. Mike? Amen. That's why it's, I remember, I think it was the pastor I served under, he He said, if you ever want to get excited and you want to have that joy of salvation restored, get around new believers as they're getting things, as they're getting those wake-ups, as God's revealing himself to them. You think those simple things will, you know, bore you, but you watch people learning, it just excites you to see that stuff. So he said, if you're getting bored, get around a new believer and watch God open in their heart and their mind, and don't squash it and don't put a blanket over. He said, man, just sit back and pour some gas on it. And so I try to remember that. So that's why I get excited when I hear what some of the guys are doing or ladies are doing, how God's working in their lives. It's good stuff. It's true. All right. I would encourage you to check out the website. The website is up and it's new. So it's been redesigned when you get the opportunity. Let us know what you think about it. It's been a lot of work. Be gentle if you hate it or dislike it. You know, a lot of times we can look at something and say, oh, I hate that or I don't like that. And I understand that. But remember, there's a lot of work and man hours and sweat and tears and phone calls and emails that are put into those things. And so be gentle, because you know, you don't know how you're going to tread on somebody. But check it out, and it's got different links to, we now have the YouTube pages on, or link is there, so you can go right to the YouTube where the things are streamed live to. And so see what you think about it. All right, let me see here. Dave Bolos, will you close some prayer, please, sir?